Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today are Tommy and Raul from the SQL Server team. Gentlemen, why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Hey everybody, my name's Tommy. I'm a PM on the security team for SQL Server.
And I'm Raul Garcia, also a security PM for SQL Server.
All right, perfect. Well, gentlemen, welcome to the show. So this is going to be a, we had this topic when we talked Azure SQL Database probably a month or so ago, but it's interesting now. So you're here to talk about role of security in Box product.
Absolutely. Right?
So what do you got for us?
So we are really excited about this one. This is something that DBAs and developers have been asking for years.
For a long time.
We're really excited to bring role level security at last to on-premise SQL Server. So,
and this is the, you know, we've heard for a long time kind of the cloud first thing, and it's really, it really happened. It was cloud first, and then... Right?
Yes, and this is exactly as you said, one of the first instances that we're going on the cloud first, and then getting the same functionality parity with in-premise SQL Server.
Yep, perfect.
Absolutely.
Now, is there, and I'm sure we'll see a demo here shortly, but it's, you know, is that the same functionality, the same ability to say, hey, let me filter rows based on, you know, your security level?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same functionality. It's the same code. You know, what you can do on one, you can do on the other.
And this makes it a nice, if I want to do a nice migration story. Right?
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
If you want to migrate.
Right, not that we want to get, right, but it just said, hey, you know, so again, if I've got to want to implement this and at some point I want to move to the cloud, done, right? So I don't have a lot of, you know, this feature now. Little transfer.
It works. And you know, it's a great case study for this cloud first story where, you know, if you want to try out something in advance, you can try it out on Azure.
So let's do this. So for those, you know, so we have a video out there already on SQL DB, but for those that haven't watched this, what is, let's just pretend, you know, assume that people haven't seen that one. How does this work? What is role of security and how does it work in on-premises SQL Server?
Yeah, so basically the way we think about row-level security is it gives you fine-grained access control over particular rows in a table in your database.
Right.
So the gist is rows are filtered based on the execution context of your query. And the reason we say execution context rather than who you are or what you do is because we mean that really, really generally. The logic you can stick in there to determine who can see which rows is really, really flexible. That's part of the beauty of RLS.
So it filters it at execution time is what we're really saying. When I execute this query, it says, all right, I'm executing as this person, and this person can see this, you know, this row supply, this filter at execution query execution time.
Yep.
Yes.
So is there a, I'm trying to figure out the appropriate way to ask this. Is there, how much overhead is there? Because it now has to go out and figure out who you are, to some degree, and go, okay, now filter the rows. Is there, how much overhead is there, and is there going to be like a query performance degradation a little bit?
It really depends on the way you define the predicate that will be used, the function that will be used to filter the rows. It could be something as simple as is member,
okay,
or calling context info. It could be as complex as you want, joining several tables, calling other UDFs, or calling anything that you want.
Okay.
I think with respect to performance, one of the key things to note here is typically the way people have done this in the past is they've, for instance, put a view on top of all of their tables that, you know, implement some sort of filtering logic, maybe joining with a few things.
Yeah.
The performance of RLS is going to be directly comparable to that. It's basically the same thing, more or less, under the hood.
Okay.
It's just a little bit simpler, more centralized, and easier to manage.
Is there going to be some best practices around how you implement this, like you talked about, right? Do I put it in a UDF? Do I, right, in a context? I mean, there's your best practices around how you implement RLS?
Yes, we're going to have some guidelines the same way that we have for other features. We also have already several blog articles that provide some examples on how to avoid certain traps that will lead to bad performance, how to do blocking predicates with implementation that is today.
So I'd say we have demos for a lot of the really common use cases that just crop up over and over again in the customers we work with. And then in terms of folks that want to do something a little bit more complicated, have some really sophisticated business logic that isn't typical maybe, we certainly have best practices to kind of help you along with those.
So how does it work and how do you implement? We saw it in the Azure SQL Database. You know, how do we implement it here in the Box product?
Sure. So, I mean, at a high level here, this picture actually probably helps if you want to zoom in on that. Really, what we're doing here is you create this new object we've introduced called a security policy.
Yeah.
And what a security policy does is that's what enforces this filtering logic.
Okay.
And what you can do is you create inline table-valued functions.
Okay.
And that's where you put all of your filtering logic. So you create one of these functions. You can add that into one of these security policies on a particular table. You can have as many of them as you want. One limitation is that you can only have one active predicate on a table at a time. But your same security policy is basically a container for a lot of these predicates that can be across all the tables that you need to filter on.
Right.
So those are the two mechanisms, really. You create a filter predicate, you create an inline table valued function.
Yep.
That has your logic, and then you create a security policy that basically is a container for a bunch of those.
Okay, and I'm sure we'll see.
We have a demo that will show you that.
Perfect. Okay.
Make it a lot clearer.
Cool.
But
okay.
This picture will help kind of
show
you go right through the security policy and you get your rows.
Right. So So you're basically saying I'm this person. I'm a part of. I do a query. It says, "Oh, you're part of this policy," right? So execute and filter these rows type of scenario.
Yeah, so like and one example here that we have is, you know, if you're a nurse and you can only see patients that have been assigned to you or that are in your wing when you're on duty or something like that, if you're a multi-tenant application, you know, you can only see rows that belong to you, your particular tenant ID.
Yep.
If you're a bank, it's, you know, I can only see financial statements that correspond to my region. If you're an oil and gas company, I mean, the list goes on and
on. Right. Okay, perfect. And then at that point, is there, how much overhead and maintenance is there? I mean, is there going to be a lot of, can you put like a time-based, in other words, this policy only exists for X amount of time? You know, how granular can you get by when defining these security policies?
Well, it really depends on the logic that you implement on that inline table value function.
Okay.
As I mentioned, you can pretty much call any other functions. You can do almost anything that, you want. One thing that, is allowed to do, you're allowed to do is you can modify the existing policy to replace the function that has been used for filtering.
Okay.
So, for example, if you have a need of having different policies at different times of the day, you can potentially schedule it with SQL Agent and alter the existing policy without disabling it at any point. So
you're just dynamically altering the policy based on whatever factor.
Correct. Obviously, it has implications because it will be a little more expensive. You have to recompile all your queries, et cetera. Buyers beware. But it's very flexible.
Okay,
so,
good.
I think that's the key point. You know, the logic that you stick into this can really be pretty much whatever you want.
Right.
It's really flexible to whatever scenario you happen to have.
Can we see a demo of this, or is it a good time? Awesome.
We'd love to do a demo.
Yeah.
That's our favorite thing.
Yes, we love demo. Hate slides, love demo. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
we buy into that mantra.
Okay, so we need to swap over.
We swap screens. So the gist of what we have here in this demo is a nurses and doctors in a hospital or healthcare clinic type of scenario. And we've got patients who come in for a certain amount of time. They're assigned to a room in a wing. And we also have our hospital staff, these nurses and doctors, who are assigned to particular wings for certain periods of time.
Right.
And the idea here is that if I'm a nurse, I shouldn't be able to see everybody. I should only be able to see those patients
that I'm assigned to.
That I'm in I'm assigned to their wing, and I'm on duty at the same time that they're actually in the hospital, so I'm not sneaking in after hours and seeing things. So that's the idea here. So first thing I want to do is show you our existing schema here, and I've got two little quick queries. I'll expand this so you can take a look. So our patients are a collection of Raoul's favorite composers here who unfortunately have had a rough couple months. So this top section here shows the patients tables, just a simple select star from patients. You can see each patient has a name, a room, a wing, and a start time and an end time. And if you're unfortunate enough to have a null end time, that means you are still in the hospital.
Okay.
So those are our patients. On the employee's side, we have a similar kind of thing. What we're doing here is we actually have two tables that we're joining to produce this output here. We have a list of employees, mm-hmm. so just an employees table. And then we also have a staff duties table, which basically is what are you assigned to? What are your assignments?
Okay.
And so each staff member is assigned to a particular wing for a start time and an end time.
Okay.
So it's kind of lines up with our patients.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do here is we're going to create a security policy that allows us to filter things as they should be. So the first thing that we do here to enable RLS, it's pretty straightforward, just a couple of steps. First thing is we're going to create a separate schema for our RLS objects. And this is a best practice that we typically recommend just to keep things organized and ensure that you have proper access controls around your filtering objects.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's just a best practice there. Done. So now this, and I'm going to scroll down here so you guys can see all of the logic. This is really where the meat of RLS comes in. It's this function right here, which, as mentioned, is an inline table-valued function.
Okay.
So it returns a table. It is schema-bound. And Rel, do you want to talk about schema binding for just a quick sec?
Sure, absolutely. The reason why we're schema binding it is when we define the role-level security policy and the predicate function, we are going to do the permission checks at creation time. So at runtime, when the nurses are doing the select star for patients, they don't need to know anything about the functions, the tables that are used for joining on this role of security. Everything is done ahead of time. Yeah. The other reason why we have the schema binding is once the security officer who creates the role of security policy defines this is my function, is going to be on this column, on this table. All of these objects are going to be bound. You cannot delete them, you cannot modify them. So you know exactly how is it going to work as long as the policy exists.
So it's really, that's a security feature here.
Right.
The fact that things are schema bound means you know they're not gonna change under the hood without you realizing it. So that's a nice guarantee to have.
Yep.
So the gist of what we're doing here is this function's gonna get applied to our base table, which in our case is going to be our patient's table. We'll do that in a second.
Yep.
And we're basically going to filter, we're going to allow rows through where basically the wing of the nurse, which is this one here, this is from our staff table, matches that of our patient's table.
Okay.
Where the nurse's end time is greater than when the patient checked in, so you know they're present, basically.
Yep.
And we're also doing the flip side of that for the end time of the patient so that the nurse started.
Right.
And then we also have this little super user caveat here, which says if you're a doctor, you can actually see everybody.
Oh, okay,
So, you know, that's a common kind of case if you have an administrator or something like that.
Yeah.
You can have, you know, different logic for different types of users, for instance. And this shows you how we're using this isMember built-in function here. It's a really powerful one. It works with both Windows groups and, in our case here, you know, SQL roles.
Right, okay, perfect.
So,
yeah, so if I'm a doctor, I see everybody. If I'm a nurse, here's what I can't see. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, see who you're assigned to.
Yep.
So that's the gist of that. Let's go ahead and create this function. And then, last thing we do, and then we're good, is we're going to actually create this security policy. So this is that new object we've added.
Yep.
And we're going to add this function that we just created, as a filter predicate. We're going to pass in these three columns from our patient's table.
Okay,
so
yep.
We're adding that function as a filter predicate on the table.
The policy is being created based on that the function.
Yep. Exactly. And if we had lots of different tables, you know, patient details, like lots of, you know, transactions and things like that across lots of tables, we could reuse this same function and just stick it on all of those different tables and package all of that up into this one security policy so you have like a centralized place for that. And you can enable that or disable that as a batch and things like that.
Yep.
So, just
love
a container.
It. Okay.
So, now for where we actually get to prove that this does what we say it does. So what we're going to do here for this, the purposes of this demo is we've created a few users, SQL users, to represent our various nurses and doctors.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to run a simple select star from patients impersonating each of these users to see what would they see if they logged into the database. And so, for instance, if we do this one here for Clara Barton, we've added nurse here just to make it obvious to everybody that she is a member of the nurse's role. And let me pull this up. And you can see that rather than seeing all seven of the patients, she sees only the ones that correspond to the filtering criteria that we stuck in there.
Yep, okay.
And, you know, for instance, if we do this one here, this nurse sees two. And if we switch over to a doctor here, remember, doctors, we said, you can see everybody.
Yep.
So this doctor can see all seven patients.
Yep, okay.
So, presto, awesome. It works.
Yep.
So, what really helps, I think, is to take a look at the show plan here so you can actually see what is the plan, the query plan that the optimizer came up with. And you can see the difference here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to first turn that security policy off using this alter policy with state equals off, and then I'm going to flip it back on and show you the query plan for each of those,
cool.
Just for the same select star from patients query.
Okay.
And so you can see the difference here.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Right?
Significant, yeah.
Significant difference, but it's really, it's just the logic that we stuck in there. Right. It would be exactly the same if we, you know, happened to do this with a view, for instance.
Right.
So the idea is in this top one here, you know, it's a simple clustered index scan, same as you'd expect.
Yep.
We're just walking down our primary key. And in the case of when row level security is enabled on the patient's table, you can see this left semi-join, and that's where we're actually applying that
the
predicate
filtering,
function
yeah.
to actually
mm-hmm.
filter out our results. So that's the gist of it. We have two new system views that are there to help you out if you want to keep track of what are my policies and predicates.
Okay.
So that exposes that visibility to you. And I think the thing to reiterate here is that logic that we stuck in here was, you know, arbitrarily complex. We had a join with another table stuck in there. It can be very, very complicated, or it can be literally as simple as, you know, where tenant ID
is whatever,
equals
yeah.
context info. For instance, that's a really common case that comes up for multi-tenant middle-tier applications.
Right. So interesting. Yep. So, really, it's not that, like you said, it's not that complicated. It's, you know, define my policy, define the, you know, the function that where my logic's going to reside, and then apply that, right? So not that bad. Is there going to be, right now I'm doing everything through T-SQL.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Is there plans to say, hey, maybe put some GUI on top of this? And really, this isn't that bad anyway. I mean, if I'm a developer, I'd prefer to sling some code anyway.
You want to script it anyways.
Yeah. So.
You want to go for it?
Do go for it.
All right. so the deal with RLS is that because it's so flexible, there's a limitation as to how much GUI we can really put on top of it. And especially into the customers we've talked to, a lot of them, it's like, well, you know, that's not going to help. It's actually going to be more clutter than it's worth.
Yeah.
What we do have in the sense of a GUI is if you boot up SSMS, you can take a look in the Object Explorer. You can see, all right, what are my policies? That's helpful to know.
Yep.
And you can see which predicates are applied to which tables.
Yep.
A really common action is, okay, so I have a table, like what predicates are on it?
Okay.
So we give you easy ways to see that. But in terms of actually creating that logic and setting things up.
Yeah, I can't see too many.
Because it's up to you as a developer or a DBA, right?
Right. Yep.
We want to give you that flexibility.
But at least through the SSMS, right, I can scroll down there, here's my policies, here's my predicates, and know that what's applied to what, right? That's really from a DBA perspective. If I want to, I could probably just script it out anyway, right?
Yeah.
So not a big deal. Now, so that really not, is there, do you see in people that are currently testing this, do you see people modifying this a lot, or is that just almost a one and done, set it and go?
It's typically going to be once I set it.
Really not changing much.
Not changing it that much. Every once in a while when a policy needs to be revisited, they have the ability to do it with the alter security predicate and altering the function, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's most likely going to be relatively infrequent.
And yeah. I love the demo part that you showed where you say, hey, let's look at the execution plan, right? Because as a DBA or as a, even a, you know, these guys, like you talk to some of these MVPs, you're like, you know, what's the overhead here? And, you know, how does this affect it? And this is a great way to go, hey, what's going on? And how does this affect the performance of my system? And I think people really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a pretty common use case here actually is, you know, if you're that security officer who is in charge of creating these security policies to begin with, you know, you're tinkering with things as you're getting going, and you're using, you know, for instance, something like Query Store to at the same time figure out, okay, which of these predicates seem to be, you know, working a little bit better. Maybe I do need an index on this particular column.
Yep.
And it can help you identify things like that will make your queries all faster.
And they'll definitely be looking at that to see, you know, how has my performance affected on this. But this is an awesome feature, right? Because it allows me to get very granular as to, like, you know, for schemas and things like that, don't have to worry about who can see what, right?
Yeah, I absolutely. Yes. And if you're used to, you know, creating a view for every single table in your database, this is a little bit of a nice change of pace.
Much better solution, I think. Right.
We're really excited about it. It's been something that's been a top ask for years.
Now, this is will be in CTP2.
Yep.
Right? Can we look forward to, are there any enhancements between then and GA, or what can we look forward to?
Yeah. Without giving away too much of the punchline. Yeah, no, there's definitely stuff to look forward to.
Okay.
So one big thing right now is you'll notice, actually, let me scroll back up here. If you take a look at our security policy, we have added this function as a filter predicate.
Right.
And that language is deliberate there. What it means is it filters out rows.
Yeah.
And so the current version that you have in CTP2 is basically it's row filtering that affects select, update, and delete operations.
Right.
So it's basically what can people see, what rows can people see. But what we can't do right now without the use of, you know, check constraints or triggers or something like that is prevent somebody from inserting rows that subsequently they won't be able to see. So that idea there is something we're tentatively calling blocking predicates or something along those lines.
Right, okay.
And that is something that is on our roadmap to kind of round out this feature and allow you to both, you know, block what people can see and also what people can write. So
write,
it's
kind of
get operations and set operations.
If I can't see it, don't let me insert it, right? Type of scenario.
Yeah. For some scenarios, that's really important. For others, not so much.
And some scenarios potentially will have different policies for inserting data and for reading data.
Okay, perfect.
So depends on your app. We like to give the flexibility.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Tommy, Raul, thank you for coming. This has been fantastic. I think this is a great feature. We look forward to seeing it when it releases.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Thank you.